Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
This message is called Digging Deeper. Our church this year, what the overriding faith goal and what we're believing for this year is simply framed, there is more. For 12 months, I've been writing a book, which comes out, as you heard, very early next month, called There Is More. In April, we've got a brand new live Hillsong worship album coming out called... called... Why were you more excited about the album than my book? A brand new worship album coming out called There Is More. And the songs are unbelievable. And then our conferences around the world, Hillsong Conference this year, the belief is there is more. I wonder what more means to you. So I started the year speaking on living larger. We're going for the more, expecting greater and digging deeper. I believe God wants us to dig deeper. And let me start by reading a scripture in 2 Kings chapter 3. It's verse 15. And it's Elisha speaking and says, "Now bring me a musician." And then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." In other words, start digging. "For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink." So the scene is a drought. The cattle, they got no water, and the horses, they got no water, and the people, they're parched, and the riverbeds are dry. And so the word of the Lord comes and says, just dig deeper. Start digging ditches. And scholars will say that all they had to do was dig 4 foot through the sand, and they would hit rock. And down on the rock, just 4 foot down, the water was already flowing. They were told, you're not going to see rain, you're not going to see wind. And so how did the water come? It was already there. They just had to dig deeper. And sometimes in life, what God has for you is already there, but you just gotta dig deeper. What are you digging for in your life, I wonder? Some people in life are just keep digging holes. In other words, they make mistakes, they keep making the same mistakes. They do everything that is going to go the opposite direction for the will of God. They dig a hole for themselves while other people are digging a well. Are you digging for dirt or are you digging for water? You see, some people, all they do is remind themselves of not other people's dirt, but their own. Some of the pain, some of the mistakes, some of the hurts. Some people literally want to dig up the past while other people are digging up treasure. What are you digging up in your life? God has gold for you. He has gold for you, but you've just got to dig a little deeper in Jesus' name. You see, we dig deeper. And I believe God has restorative waters. He has healing waters. He has rivers of strength and he has streams of fulfillment. Sometimes, though, you have to dig deeper, deeper into the things of God. And so what makes us dig deeper? Success doesn't make anyone dig deeper. You see, I'm a success. I don't need to dig the deeper. I'm already a success. I don't think happiness in and of itself makes anyone dig deeper. Popularity doesn't. I'm a popular guy. Popularity doesn't make you dig any deeper. Wealth won't make you dig deeper. Sometimes people have got deeper pockets, but they start living a surface of your life. So what is it that makes us dig deeper? Pain makes people dig deeper. Loss can make people dig deeper. Our weakness makes us dig deeper. The Apostle Paul says, "When I am weak, then I am strong." He just had to dig a little deeper. Hunger makes people dig deeper. As a young pastor, I was hungry to serve God. I was hungry to work alongside the master builder and build a church. I was hungry. And hunger brings desperation. Hunger makes you dig a little deeper. And so, what power could there possibly be in pain? I don't think pain comes from God, but it certainly seems that God allows it, else it wouldn't be a part of anyone's life. And not only do I believe that God allows it, but I believe God uses it. And in fact, in your life, pain can become power. There are people in this room who are facing pain, painful situation. For some, it's literal physical pain. But for many others, it may do with relationship, or it could be to do with loss, or it could be to do with just the sense of being betrayed. It could be so many different things. But God uses pain in a powerful way. And so we don't welcome pain. We don't glorify pain. No, we don't do any of that. But I wonder if you were to embrace pain, because see, God used it in an incredible, incredible way. Pain started in Genesis 3, verse 16. It's the result of sin. It's the result of the fall. And in this verse, God speaks to the woman and says, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." It literally is, your desire will be to control your husband, but he will rule over you. Friction in relationships comes from sin and from the fall. And the other thing, of course, that come from sin initially is pain. But if you think nothing good can come from pain, think about the bond between a mother and a child that was born in pain. God can do great things with pain if we trust him. So that's where pain is introduced. And then in the last chapter of the last book of Revelation, the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, it says this, "Four no mores." Revelation 21 verse 4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." It's there from the beginning. It's here, it seems, till eternity, where there'll be no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow, and no more pain. But where we live right now, pain is a reality, and that's why anyone in life at some point is going to face some level of pain. And I hope I don't sound negative, because I believe there's a light at the end of every tunnel. I believe to get out of the train while it's still in the tunnel is a foolish thing to do. I believe God brings you through. He's a healer. He's a vector. He's a deliverer. God brings us through. But still, if in pain you will dig a little deeper, it's amazing what God can do in your life through the power of pain. You know, God shows up in pain, and pain becomes power. The pain of the cross becomes the power of the resurrection. That's why we want to embrace it. When the devil's trying to say, "You're out, you're disqualified," God's saying, "You're in. Better days coming. Better days coming." Well, look, leprosy in Bible times was a plague. They had lepers' colonies, and they were kept away from people. And if a leper in Bible times was walking through the town, they had to scream, shout out, "Unclean, unclean," so everyone could run from them. You imagine how ostracized they felt. Not only did they have the pain of leprosy, but they had the pain of literally being excluded from society and from people. Well, do you know, lepers, they lose fingers and lose toes and limbs fall off and their flesh looks like it's being eaten away. But a more recent time, leprosy is now called Hansen's disease. And there's a medical doctor who specializes in leprosy. And this is the thing, listen carefully. Leprosy apparently affects the sensory nerves at the surface of your skin. And so it means you can't feel pain. You could put your fingers on a hot tub and not even realize it because you can't feel pain. You could break a bone and not realize because you can't feel pain. So it wasn't the leprosy that was causing people to lose fingers and toes and limbs and all sorts of other horrible things happening to their bodies. It was, in fact, their inability to feel pain. And so an American doctor who specializes in Hansen's disease in leprosy talks about leprosy as a gift that you should embrace, and as something that, as an indicator, keeps you from harm, keeps you from things going wrong. Pain. God shows up in pain. God shows up in pain. There are people here in pain, and it's a time when if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, God shows up. And what he can do is incredible. There's an old preacher here in America called T.F. Tenney. He's awesome. He's so wise. I follow him on Twitter. And, you know, he's in his late 80s, but he's so wise. T.F. Tenney. Well, this is what he said about pain. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, good times. God speaks to us in our consciousness and our conscience. But God shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone. C.S. Lewis was the first person to describe pain as God's megaphone. In other words, God speaks loudly in pain. People, when they're in pain, come into church and it seems like every single message you hear, every time someone speaks, they are speaking directly to you because you're hungry and you're desperate and there's pain, and pain somehow is able to receive because pain becomes God's megaphone. God shouts to you in pain. And so it seems like everything speaks to you. You go into the Word when you're in pain and you go in there, and because you're desperate, it's like God speaks to you every time you open the scriptures and you feel like that verse is reading your story. And because pain is an indicator, and God shows up in pain. And so that's why David, King David, who had a lot of affliction, he had a lot of pain. And he speaks a lot about pain in Psalm 119. And in verse 50, Psalm 119, he said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." He knew that in his trial, in his pain, in his affliction, that God's word came to life. And in pain, it's true, we can hear God in such an incredible way. And I want to encourage every person here to understand, yes, at times we all face pain, every single one of us, but it doesn't have to be your enemy. It can be something that God can use to bring something powerful into your life. God allows things into our life, not to destroy us, but in fact to empower us, to make you better. And so I love the fact that God can in fact turn something negative, something evil around, and he can turn it into something mighty. He can turn it into something great. And all the way we believe God's going to heal me. We believe God's going to bring me through this. God's going to set me free. But in the meantime, God works in our pain. You know, athletes, when they train, they usually train in pain. In Australia, it's pre-season time for our winter sports. We play real sports like rugby and cricket and, you know, all the sports you guys wished you played. How good was that Super Bowl, by the way? Yeah. But so right now in Australia, it's pre-season time. And we've got professional athletes in our church. And so I get to talk to them. And I'll tell you how you spell pre-season. P-A-I-N. Because right now they are running sand dunes. They are doing army boot camps. They are pushing their bodies. Christmas pudding is well and truly be worn off. All of the excesses of the New Year's Eve all being worn off, and they are getting themselves primed and ready. They train in pain so they can play in pain, and then they can play through the pain, and they'll still be playing after the pain. And if they don't train in pain, they'll never ever be able to stand when they have to play in pain. And in Australia, we just had the Australian Tennis Open. Some of you may have seen it on TV, and the temperatures were horrendous. I mean, you guys were in Miami, so you know how it is, but it was Celsius, one particular day, 40 degrees. And so that's well over 100 Fahrenheit. And that's what the temperature was in the city. But on the court, in that arena, they said the temperature reached 69 degrees Celsius, which is just unimaginable. It'd be like 150 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's like impossible stuff. And there was a game on. And it was between a Frenchman, Gael Monfils, and Novak Djokovic, who of course is the champion. And they were in pain. I mean, after every point, the Frenchman was literally doubled over in pain. He was calling out to the umpire and saying, "I'm going to collapse." They were almost pleading with the umpire to suspend the game, but they had to keep playing. Novak Djokovic, who has won something like 12 Grand Slams, he was in slow motion. He was whiter than white and exhausted. But you see, they'd trained in pain. And because they trained in pain, they played in pain, and they had the endurance to play through the pain, so that now they're still playing after the pain. And that's life. Life's not a game. But if we understand that sometimes God can use pain to train us, then it also prepares us to play the game of life in pain. It's not a game. And then to keep on going through the pain, not stop. The Australian women's eight rowing team were about to win a gold medal at the Olympics. They were way out in front just a couple of Olympics ago. And out of the eight of them, just one girl stopped rowing. And the moment she stopped rowing, even though they were near the finish line, it was over. And no one to this day knows quite why she stopped rowing. I don't think she knows why she stopped rowing. But you see, she didn't manage to get all the way through the pain. And I don't think God wants you to stop rowing. Sometimes he wants to make us stronger. Some of you are called to be heavyweights when it comes to serving God. And can I say this to you? I think that through pain, you get strength for the bar and you get strength from the bar. In other words, you get strength for the bar so you can carry a whole lot more weight on that bar. And so you can get strength from the bar so you can go on. And look, it's obvious. I know a lot about weightlifting. I mean, look at that. It's obvious, can't you? It's obvious. Not one thing has moved there. Feels the same like that, like this. Nothing moves. Oh, well, listen to me. I believe, honestly, that God wants to make people heavy lifters. And if you don't train, and sometimes you train in pain, you're not going to be able to lift. I watch younger people, younger leaders, and sometimes I concern myself over their capacity because I watch what stresses them. I watch what pressure they feel. And I think, man, you've got to grow your capacity. Because if that's stretching you there, how are you going to get on when you move forward into what God has for you? And the things that you confront and the pressures and the stresses are so much more. So God, he wants us to keep on growing our capacity so we can handle more, so that we can move through, so we can be and do all he called us to be. So let's be people who are not going to be held back by a little bit of pain. It's not going to rob us. We're going to believe that God will speak to us through our pain. You know, in Psalm 119, David, he spoke a lot about his affliction. He spoke a lot about his pain. And he said this, he said, "Remember the word to your servant," speaking to God. "Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction. Your word has given me life." He says, this is my comfort and my pain. It's brought your word to life. God wants to bring his word to life in our lives. See his word working in our lives, which is powerful. So you're going to grow your capacity. Can I tell you, leadership is not a walk in the park. Leadership's not a Sunday school picnic. Leadership can be brutal. Leadership is leadership. And what are you going to do when you're rally hemorrhaging if you've never learned to bleed? And that's why sometimes cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He's going to make you a bigger person. He's going to make you withstand anything that the devil would try to bring against you and bring you up and into all that he's planned for you in Jesus' name. Your capacity for pain determines your potential for growth. And that's why sometimes it's all about increasing capacity. Strength for the bar, strength from the bar. I like that idea. Do you know Paul? He had his pain. The Apostle Paul speaks about his thorn in the flesh. Well, I don't know what you think about when you think about a thorn in the flesh, but I'll tell you now, it wasn't a prickle. It wasn't a thistle. It wasn't a little pinprick. No, the Greek word for thorn is stake. And we're not talking about meat. S-T-A-K-E. Stake. So more like a tent peg stake or a tomato stake. It's a stake. So Paul, he had a stake in his flesh, he described. And no one knows exactly what that was. But here's the thing. Paul almost welcomed it. He saw it as a gift. Because he knew that it would keep him on course and it would make him better. He could identify with the stakes that Jesus had in his, the spikes that Jesus had in his arms and his legs. He could identify. And you know, with pain, we've got choices. You choose to be miserable. You choose to be pitiful. You choose to be bitter. Are you going to be bitter or are you going to be better? Let's make the right choices and decide. We're going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We're going to cooperate with the will of God in our lives. Amen. Don't throw a pity party. You can throw a pity party and you can invite anyone you want. But the only person who's going to turn up is the devil. Keep that in mind. And so, God's got so much for you. There is more. He has so much for you. There is so much more on this journey of faith, on this adventure called serving Jesus. And along the way, the devil would love to sideline you through pain, but you're not going to be sidelined, are you? We're not going to be sidelined. We're going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We're going to cooperate with the will of God in our lives. You know, David said other things about his affliction, about pain. In that same scripture, Psalm 119, verse 67, he knew that pain was not authorized to destroy him, but that pain was authorized to make him. And so David says, before I was afflicted, before my pain, I went astray, but now I keep your word. So pain changed him. You see, before I had pain in my life, I went astray. I didn't have anything as a barometer to hold me on course. But after pain, I'm living by the word of God. So pain made him better. Even more powerful, even more challenging than that, is again in Psalm 119, verse 71. David said, it is good for me that I've been in pain, that I may learn your ways, that I may learn your statutes. It is good for me. I don't know too many people who were in pain thinking, oh, this is good for me. No, we don't. It takes a long time to sometimes look back and say, wow, that was good for me. Do you know our church, we started in 1983. And so it was 34 years ago. I mentioned that Bobby and I moved to Australia from New Zealand 40 years ago. And so we then were involved in what were my parents' church. And eventually they sent us out and we started what is now Hillsong Church. And 20 years later, what was my parents' church became a campus of Hillsong Church. So we took over Mum. And so it's 40 years now, really, that we've been on that journey. It's been amazing, but I'll tell you, there's been some pain. And since we started in 1983, we were going the wrong way. There's a lot of pain up front. First service we ever had, there were 70 people turn up, 7-0. Second service, 65. Third service, 53. Fourth service, 45. I worked out there's only 4.5 more weeks and there'd be no more people. We were going nowhere fast. But there God turned it around. You know, it's an amazing journey. And for our first 12 years, 83 to 1995, we had the normal ups and downs of church life, just the normal stuff that you deal with as pastors. But big picture, it was just a big journey of moving forward and momentum and adventure. It was awesome. But after 12 years, we hit our real speed bump. And it was to do with a relationship, a fractured relationship. And so a fractured relationship between me and someone I loved. And I'll tell you right now, it was painful. As a matter of fact, someone said to me at the time, Brian, you're grieving. And that's exactly what it felt like. And it was painful for me. It was painful for everyone involved. It was painful for the church. And we went through about 6 months. It's really the only season we've ever had like that where there was pain because of this fractured relationship. Well, I hated that relationship breaking down like that. I hated the pain. I hated the grief. But I look back now, I became a better person. I think I'm a more mellow pastor and husband and father. I think I'm more compassionate when it comes to other people's pains. I think I'm wiser. I think I'm humbler. I think I'm less idealistic. Young people can be incredibly idealistic. In other words, I'm not an expert on everything anymore. Because I have my own Gethsemane, I have my own pain. And pain, it does have that ability to really make us end up better. David said, it is good for me. He saw good come out of it. Don't be a bitter person. Be a better person. Spurgeon said, Charles Spurgeon, the English preacher and author, he said, I never grew in grace till I grew in pain. Well, listen to me. Job's pain was unimaginable. Job, because he lost his wife, his children were killed, he lost his livelihood, he lost all his livestock, his cattle, and he lost everything. And of course, he's covered in festering, pussy sores all over his entire body. And the book of Job paints a picture of Job sitting in a dump. And he's using some broken pottery to scratch at the sores on the surface of his skin. But he didn't stop at just scratching at the surface. He dug deeper. He said to the Lord in Job chapter 13, I think it's verse 15. He said to the Lord, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. He goes on in Job 19, verse 25, and says about redemption, I know that my Redeemer lives. You see, sometimes we just want to scratch at the surface of pain rather than digging a little deeper. But when he dug deeper, he was able to say, this is not going to slay me. I will still trust him. He was able to say, I know that my Redeemer lives. He was able to stay on course with everything that God had for him. Do you know? Do you know in your pain that your Redeemer lives? Do you know in your pain that God's going to bring you through into something so much better, so much greater in Jesus' name? Okay, think about this. There was a guy out exercising and he gets confronted by a robber. And the guy is wearing a mask and he's carrying a knife and he cuts him and he takes all his money. So they wheel him to the hospital and they're wheeling him into the surgery, into the operating theater, and he's confronted in there by a man with a mask and a knife who cut him, and then they took all his money. I'm going to give it a moment in case anyone's here from Alabama. You know, I was 30 years old, cocky young pastor. We started our church at 29, and kind of like you guys, it started to take off pretty quickly. And we're part of a denomination, a movement. And so way back then at 30, I became the youngest person ever to get voted onto this missions council. They do huge missions work. And so I was pretty proud of myself, to be honest. You know, 30 years old, youngest ever, and I'm on this missions council. Well, 2 years later, they voted again. At 32, I became not only the youngest, but the only person ever to get voted off the Missions Council. I lasted 2 years, and I was the only person ever to get voted off by my peers, by my contemporaries. And can I tell you, it stung. It hurt. I was hurt. But of course, what was hurt was my pride. And my pride needed to be hurt. Sometimes we need to look at what's going on in our life and think about the robber and then think about the surgeon. Realize that one is taking from you, the other is healing you. So we can choose to look at life and we can choose whether we're going to see what's robbing us or whether we're going to point to the one who is healing us and receive from the one who's healing us. And watch what God can do with our pain He is a healer. He is a deliverer. He will bring you through. There is light at the end of the tunnel. He will be true to his word. He will comfort you, and he will sustain you in pain. And he can cause you to come out so much better. And God will use pain for his glory in your life. If you believe it, say amen. Amen, amen.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.